Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative in Redondo Beach. Today's topic is called Knowing Your Chart. So if you don't have a chart, how could you follow this topic? Well, I keep telling you to send away for your chart. What are you waiting for? All right. The transits are running so hot. Don't you love it? Now we have a Sun square Uranus. Soon we'll have a Mercury square Uranus. Then we'll have a Venus square Uranus. There is an earthquake watch in Southern California for 3 weeks. There's also an international watch worldwide for some world leader to do something foolish or crazy for the next 3 weeks. And the Capricorn transits are definitely upon us. This topic is specifically dedicated to you beginners and to you people who are regulars who think you are so experienced and so good on astrology, and you call me up and I say to you, where's your rising? And you go, don't know, and things like that. And they listen to it every day, day after day. They hear me talking about risings and moons and Venuses and planets and such. Then they call me up on the air during a reading day. I say, what's your rising? And they go, I don't know, Farley, it's Virgo, but I'm not sure where it is. And I'm not really trying to put anyone down, but specifically, if you want to go forward in astrology, and you want to go forward in your soul growth and in your growth concerning metaphysical awareness, then what you need to do is you need to nail down what your chart is. That nail chart, the astroscope that many of you, thousands of you have ordered and you have in front of your faces right now or shoved in some drawer somewhere, is a wonderful tool for you to learn and speak the language of astrology. Astrology, like any science or language, is something that must be learned. It's not going to come to you through osmosis unless you're into advanced meditation. Then look out, guess what? It may come to you through osmosis in that way. So many of you actually are in a position or a situation where you have the tool to learn your chart. And, you know, I like to compare astrology to backgammon, because backgammon, as far as I can see, is one of the easiest games in the world to learn, but it could take years to master it. Anybody could throw the dice and move the chips. But as far as throwing the dice and moving the chips off the board before the other person does and winning the game, that's something else. Anybody can learn about astrology. It's very simple. The only way to do it is to get your chart. Notice there are 11 major factors in it, only 11 factors. And once you learn that chart, once you memorize those factors, then you're on your way. See, astrology is the easiest thing in the world to memorize. Even little kids can remember what their risings and their moons are if their parents spend time with them. And then if they want to pursue or proceed further into astrology, this is absolutely a critical step that must be taken in order to proceed with astrology as a magical effect on your life. A lot of people out there think they're Virgos or think they're Pisces or Geminis or whatever, and they don't know that they have rising sign, moon sign, Mercury sign, a Venus sign. And sometimes I talk about this, and it's like they don't want to hear it. It's like I say, do you know where your Venus is? And it, like, it goes right through their head. It's like I say, do you know about space? And they go, what space? I go, space between your ears, buddy. It's like, yeah, you have a Venus sign. It's like years ago, I wish someone would have grabbed Farley and shook me and said, Farley, you're a Leo and you have Venus and Cancer. And I would have said, what does that mean? And they would have said, well, it means that you're a Leo, but you're not just a Leo. It means that you have other planets located in other signs that have major and significant effect on your chart and your life. Okay, I'll look at my chart. Where is it? It's like sometimes you could sit there and talk to people about planetary astrology, and it's like either they don't want to hear it or they're not capable, or they just can't handle the fact that you're taking them away from their sun sign. It's like the typical thing where you find a Virgo, right? And you go, hey, you're Virgo with Gemini rising. You go, Gemini, I hate Gemini. I don't want to be Gemini rising. That's tough, buddy. You're Gemini rising. I've had some people come up to me and they try to trade their rising in. No way. You can't do it. When you're born, date, time, and city of birth, and you have a particular rising sign, that's it. It's yours. It's your signature for your whole life. So, once again, when you are born, and we talk about this all the time, as soon as you come out of the womb, the umbilical cord is cut, and you are revived to a point where your lungs are clear, And you take in the essence of this dimension, the air that we breathe, direct contact, direct input, not indirect from mommy's umbilical cord, but directly from this dimension. That is when you are able to become and develop a signature or a unique vibration at the moment you start taking that air from this dimension. And literally, that is why where the planets in space. I mean, like, if you want to know what the Green Bay Packers were doing at the moment of birth, that's fine, but that's not going to affect your life. But if you want to know where Pluto was, or where Mars or Jupiter or Uranus or Neptune, these huge planets that are in our solar system, if you want to know where they are, they may have more of an effect on you than the Minnesota Vikings or the Boston Celtics or the Green Bay Packers. They're just sports teams, because these are huge stellar bodies in space. As far as we are concerned, did you know that if we lived in a binary star system, which means if we lived in a solar system with two suns, not just one, and these things do exist, that we would be pretty intense dynamic beings, because we'd have a double polarity in our souls. Heavy, heavy issue, huh? Makes you wonder what extraterrestrials from binary star systems are like. Well, I hate to tell you this, but they're probably make us look like a bunch of porcupines next to, as far as genius and intellect is concerned. Very intense. But anyway, we don't have another star system around us. Closest star we have, I think, is Alpha Centauri. And it's still so far away that we can't even detect its movement through space, even though it's moving at very, very quick speeds and taking its planetary system with it, of course. We can't detect Alpha Centauri or the planets in that system. But what we can detect movement of are all of the moving bodies in this system, like Mercury, which is closest to the sun, Venus, which is between Mercury and Earth, Mars, which is just beyond the Earth, away from the sun, then the outer planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, plus the asteroids and the moon. Jupiter's moons are intense, but from our opinion, we can't detect motion as far as visible or telegraphic sight is concerned, because frankly, telescopic sight, what we're dealing with here is Jupiter's moons and Saturn's moons are in Jupiter and Saturn's aura already. See, our moon is actually between us and our sun. So we can detect active movement between that moon. That's why when you're born as a baby, inhaling that first breath, the planets, the sun and the moon, where they are located in space, actually charge your body with a astrological magical effect that we call the chart. Now, when you get your chart in the mail from us, you will notice in the very first page on the wheel, you'll be looking at a piece of pie, at a whole pie, actually, that can be cut or is cut into 12 equal slices, and that is your chart. Now, in the bottom of that page, it says, a little index down there, it says abbreviations. And did you know that if you took the time to find the abbreviations in the bottom of the page where they're located in the body of the chart, then you could actually identify all the zodiac signs, the 12 stellar constellations, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, this constellation of Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. And then you'd be able to locate your planets where they are located in those signs. Get it? Planets in signs. It's like saying you never have signs in planets, but you must have, say, the planet first, like Venus in Virgo. That means Venus was located in Virgo when you were born, because Virgo is not just a virgin or some lady that you meet, some guy you meet. Virgo is a huge area of space making up thousands of parsecs. It is a vast distance in space, 1/12 of the universe almost. And actually, if you have a planet in Virgo, then that means that the energy that is behind Virgo that is coming from beyond this realm is going through your Venus, where it's located in that area of space, and then down to Earth into the baby, and this baby's values and love vibration and everything Venus epitomizes is Virgo. See how it works? So when you meet someone with Venus and Virgo, you go, pretty old-fashioned, huh? Hard-working, huh? Health-conscious, huh? All those things that Virgo epitomizes, we know this person loves. Somebody might be born with Venus in Cancer, like Farley, August 11th, 1948, and you have Venus in Cancer, and that means that when I was born, Venus was located in that sector that we astrologically identify as Cancer, which means the energy of Cancer, which is way beyond the visible eye, comes from beyond this realm, through the universe, through my Venus, and into baby Farley at August 11, 1948, when I inhale that first breath. And what are Farley's values and what does he love and what does he nurture to? Cancer things, sweet things, soft things, emotional, tender, nurturing, loving, security, conscious, protective, my mother, and all those other things that I just love that are Cancerian, like my home and like my little birds and also my car. I make sweet things out of everything. So we can actually find out about a person's character, about a person's values, about their wants, their interests, their desires, by knowing where their planets were, right? That's right at birth. See, that's why when we sell charts and offer them to you, we ask you for your date, your time, and your city of birth, because by doing that, we are able to zero in on a certain time in history to find out where the planets were when you were born. See? And that's why if we find out maybe that when you were born, so you're a Pisces, right? But where was the planet Jupiter? Well, it was located in that area of space, and that energy way behind Jupiter that day you were born is the area, the vibration of Capricorn. So we take the keywords for Jupiter, which are expansion and philosophy and growth and freedom and all those things that we really like to overindulge with, and we focus on the energy of Capricorn, and we find out this person loves success and career, practicality, logic, common sense, and hurting themselves to learn things, but which was Capricorn is, suffering, stuff like that. So you know, astrology is a wonderful science because you literally find out about people by analyzing their planets. So why is it that when people get their chart, they don't sit down to fill in their abbreviations, to know where the planets are located in space, when they were born? You can actually have a number assigned to a planet, that's right, because we are dealing with a circle, all 12 signs that surround the Earth in this belt where the planets orbit from our point of view is called the ecliptic or the zodiac. And that is a 60 degree circle. It's natural. It's a 360 degree circle. And there's 12 signs. And that's right. You divide 12 into 360 degrees. Let's see if I remember my second grade math here. And we get 30 degrees for each sign. Isn't that wonderful? And that means that you can identify any planet in your chart. That's right. By number and by sign, which means Farley is a Leo, but his sun is located of that 30 degrees of Leo at the 18th degree of Leo. Because in my astroscope, there it is right there. SU, and I filled my abbreviation in, that's the sun. 1-8, and that's the degree of Leo. The first number is the degree of the sign. LE, that's Leo. And then 5-2, that's the minute of the degree. Because we get so surgical in astrology here, we actually have 30 degrees in each sign and 60 minutes in each one of those 30 degrees. So if you really want to get picky, you have 1,800 minutes of location in each and every sign of the zodiac. Isn't that hot? So that's why if you find somebody that has planets in their chart that are same sign and same degree and same minute, that's karma. You're real close there to an essence vibration beyond this realm that you can put a finger on exactly what this reflection is you're dealing with. Hot topic today, knowing your chart. So what is my recommendation? Well, number one, get your chart, order it. Number two, fill in your abbreviations. That means all your signs. Identify the zodiac on the outer edge. And then inside the pie, inside the 12 houses, find your planets. Here's Farley's moon. It says M-O for moon, and then 1-7, which is the 17th degree of what sign? Oh, S-C. That's Scorpio. And then what minute? 09. So I have 17 degrees Scorpio moon, 9 minutes. Let's find Farley's Mercury. Oh, it's right next to the sun. M-E, that's Mercury. And it says 1-8 again for 18. And L-E is Leo again. Whoa, 48 minutes. That one's real close to the sun. My sun's 1852 Leo. My Mercury's 1848 Leo. Very intense. Guy's almost a Gemini here. Then let's find Venus. It says V-E. And it's over there. It says 5. Okay, so 5 degrees of what sign? C and Cancer. And then 28 minutes. So I can make a list here. I'm going to list this. I have my sun at 18 Leo. My moon at 17 Scorpio. My Mercury's 18 Leo. My Venus is 5 Cancer. And, you know, if you take the time to fill in your abbreviations and on a separate piece of paper, list your 11 factors. And what are the 11 factors, folks? Easy. The 8 planets besides the Earth, that which is Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, that's 8. The Sun, which makes it 9. The Moon makes it 10. And then the rising sign, that's right. You've heard about that in astrology. That makes it 11 total factors in your chart. And the rising sign, you say, what is this? This is something I haven't heard of, Farley. Please explain this factor here. Well, the rising sign happens to be the direction that the Earth is rotating or spinning. Everything rises in the east for a reason, because the Earth is spinning in that direction. In case you wondered, that's we are actually moving on this planet. And it is important that all energy that we sense comes in from the east, from beyond this realm, from beyond this solar system. So you can take all the planetary energies and funnel them or channel them in a laser beam coming from the eastern horizon. And horizon and rising sound similar. That's right. So that's why it is important when we get the date and time of birth, that with the time of birth, we could focus exactly which one of the 12 zodiac signs is on the eastern horizon, and then we know your rising sign. And the rising sign happens to be the most single, most number one important part in any astrology chart, because not only does it tell us what your personality is, and what your character is, and what your identity is, and what your childhood would be like, but it also tells us what your appearance is going to be like, your personality, and also how people see you, and actually the most important part in your chart as far as being a material being is concerned. So we have 8 planets besides the Earth, the Sun, the Moon, and the Rising, all filled in our abbreviations. We make a list on a separate piece of paper, and you should come up with something like this. And if you're confused with this, you can actually go to the Phoenix Bookstore and hang around the astrology section for a while, or the Bodhi Tree, or the Spectrum, and find somebody into astrology and show them your chart and say, can you show me how I can learn where my planets are? Or what signs and what degrees they are? And if you have a problem, then they will show you. Yeah, but you know, by getting this stuff down, you understand the value of this topic. If you can get down and carry around in your mind, not just listing where your planets are, and just knowing that you have 8 planets, Sun, Moon, and Rising sign located in assorted signs is not enough. You waste enough time in your life that you should make time to sit down and memorize this list. So if you run into somebody like me in everyday life, and they go up to you and say, okay, Bert, where's your Venus? And Bert goes, oh, it's in Leo at 2 degrees. Wow. Not only does he have a chart, he knows it. He has it in his head. So if he meets someone that knows about astrology, he can discuss his chart with them because he has it memorized. That's right. Take the time to memorize. And once you memorize it, you never forget it. Oh, Farley, where's your Saturn? Why, it's at 25 Leo. Well, you're pretty good. You know where your Saturn is. Wow. Well, you know, Farley, I have Jupiter at 25 Aries. Trine your Saturn. We'd get along. See, you start speaking the language of astrology. You can plug into your karma right away with other people. You might get a quick reading from someone that was astrologically aware. You might find out about your compatibility or your career focus because you have your rising sign in your head. There should be no one that calls this show that wouldn't know their rising memorized. At least their Sun, Moon, and Rising, called the 3 majors, are the most important part of any chart. You should have that memorized. And if you do, then that says something about you. Because if you meet somebody into astrology and you act dumb, that's one thing. But if you know where your planets are, then you're going to get instant respect. Because people are going to look at you and they go, this person must know something about astrology because they have their planets memorized. You know what I mean? Whenever I meet anyone, male or female, that has their planets memorized, it's like a relief. It's like a pressure is lifted. Because I say, gosh, they're so advanced in astrology, they've taken the time where they know their planets. You know, some people memorize their planets because they work so hard on their charts, eventually they get it. You know, but other people, what beginners, sit down and just write them all down, list them all, like I told you, and then they learn them, they memorize them, and then wherever they go, they know them, so they can start to speak the language. You cannot learn astrology or speak the language, in my opinion, unless first you have your 11 factors memorized, your Sun, Moon, and Rising by sign and degree. Forget the minutes, not important in my opinion, except for maybe the Sun sign by degree and minute, of course, for solar return purposes. But otherwise, Sun, Moon, Rising, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto are the keys to becoming astrologically aware, and better yet, to understanding this show and taking this show as a class. Because when you hear me talk about planets and signs all the time, you always become aware of how important it is to know your planets and signs.